Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
LA-based DJ, producer, songwriter, and bandleader Josh Legg, widely known as Gold Room, isn't exactly faithful to the gods of electronic music. He's a confessed Bob Dylan addict. He counts Nirvana as a major influence and tries to use as many natural instruments as possible in his songs, which he's been releasing under the Gold Room name since 2011. He now tours with a full band and singers using samples, but samples as more of a skin and not a skeleton for his tracks. But if Gold Room is old school in his approach to recording, he's definitely on the front edge of technology. He released his latest EP over Snapchat.
It's much more akin to, say, if it was in the 90s and an artist released a music video on MTV, and that was the only place you'd get to hear their new song. These videos only lived on Snapchat for 1 week, and then they disappeared forever until they ended up on YouTube. And so on Monday, you were delivered the first video, and then on Tuesday, the second one. And the thing that was exciting to me about it was that people who were watching it really wanted to know what happened next. And so they had to come back the next day to find out. And I think that there aren't very many things besides serialized TV shows that draw people in towards wanting to know what happens next in that way.
It's clear that Josh thinks pretty deeply about his work and about how it's released. He sat down and told us about his process.
I tend to believe very strongly that the song is the only thing that matters. And, you know, if I can't pick up an acoustic guitar and play you something that I've written and have it work in that setting, then it probably doesn't deserve to have all the bells and whistles placed around it. You know, the song is sort of the house. The accoutrement that you put around it is sort of what you fill the house with and how you paint it, but it doesn't change the bones of the house. I'm closer to like a country musician or an Americana musician that just happens to be surrounding my country songs with electronic elements. You know, my heroes in songwriting are, you know, Tom Petty, or to use a more current example, Ryan Adams. I tend to really love the things that Tom Petty does in his music, where he's not exactly a storyteller, but he's talking about emotions that everybody can relate to. And I think anybody can relate to, you know, his song Free Fallin'. I wanna glide down over Mulholland. I wanna ride her name in the sky. I'm gonna free fall out into nothing. Gonna leave this world for a while. Now I'm free. And I try really hard to write songs like that, and if I can ever write my own Free Fallin' at some point in my life, then, you know, I will be very happy. I didn't realize that I was becoming a producer per se, but my cousin gave me a Tascam 4-track recorder when I was 12. From that time, I had started to write songs on acoustic guitar, and he just gave this to me so that I could record them, and I immediately became pretty fascinated with how to make those recordings sound as good as possible. And, you know, little did I know that I was really learning how to become a producer at that point. My biggest concern with the direction that electronic music is moving is that there seems to be a real lack of a focus and belief that songwriting is still an important part of the process. And in my world, there's a lot of people who just sort of create and a beat on their computer or something like that, and then a different songwriter comes in and sings over it, and then that becomes the song, even though the artist doesn't necessarily have much of their heart or soul, or there isn't much meaning in the release. And so for me, I like to have all the electronic elements at my disposal, and I certainly enjoy that process. But if I can't strip it back and play the song on the piano and have it work, then it's not a good enough song, and it probably won't mean much in 10 years. For some people, music is a real internal and exploratory thing, but for me, music has always been an extremely escapist thing. When I was a kid, I think I always used music as a way to escape where I was and to try and take me somewhere warmer. And you know, my other life's passion is in boating and sailing. I ran a sailing school for a few years, and I've done a lot of offshore passages, and I have a real love for the ocean. And when I was a kid, I think I would always listen to music and imagine being in a tropical locale or something like that. And I think that because I fell in love with music from that angle, I've always made music coming from the same place. I've been writing music my whole life, but I started releasing music in the late 2000s. And at the time, the only way to find listeners was to have blogs on the internet write about you. You know, as an independent musician, that was the only way to sort of get tastemakers' ears. And at the time, we didn't have any way of streaming music for free, so we were actually giving blogs our music for free, which they would then give to their readers for free. So you could just have downloads of MP3s. And so, you know, when the advent of SoundCloud came around and other streaming services like Spotify and now even social networks are getting involved in this kind of thing, we have developed ways where you can listen to people's music for free, but you can't necessarily own it or have it on demand exactly whenever you want. So things are actually a lot better now than they were 10 years ago, which is something that I think a lot of people don't realize. Snapchat is, you know, is an LA-based company that, you know, is a social network that has made a choice to start developing their own content and actually put their stamp on their own content, which is something that none of the other social networks have decided to do. And so they've been interested in getting involved with music, and they approached my record label about releasing a set of 4 songs of my music on their own platform. So that was a really exciting opportunity for me, just because I believe in what they're doing, and you know, they offered the opportunity to reach a whole group of people that I haven't really touched before. In order for me to get a new fan, I generally would have to give them an MP3, and they wouldn't have to give me anything in return, whether it was something monetary or some connection where I would have the ability to tell them about a show or reach them again in any way. And now in general, if somebody wants to listen to my music, or if they want to actually buy something of mine, or even if I'm giving them something, they sort of have to give something back to me, whether they're liking my Facebook page or following me on SoundCloud or paying me for an MP3. And so now at least I have the opportunity to say, you know, well, if you don't want to pay me for my music, at least I can tell you when I'm going to be in your town, and hopefully you can come to my show.
Gold Room's latest EP is called It's Like You Never Went Away. It's available now. And that's our show today. If you want to take the takeaway with you, subscribe to our podcast. Find us on iTunes or any other service you use to get your podcast fix. You can tweet us at The Takeaway. Of course, you can ask me anything at Todd Zwillick on the Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. I am Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.